But immediately there met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. A totally different scenario here in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And when she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Two different scenarios, but there is something in common. There are many here today that aren't here today that are caught up with the cares of this life, that are distracted by things, in Jesus' name. And I don't know about you, but maybe there are some here that you feel like recently all hell has come against you. But in verse 10 and 42, this is what Jesus said. It says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good thing, which shall not be taken away from her, in Jesus' name. The one thing that you chose to do. You could be anywhere else today, but you chose to be here. Yes. And may the Lord bless you for being here today. Yes. And may we bless his name and praise him in this house, in Jesus' name. And I'm so thankful that we can press through things. We can press through hard times. We can press through what hell seemed like it was coming against us, but we made it into the house of the Lord this morning, and we are with our brothers and sisters here today, and we're here to magnify God and give him praise. May the Lord bless you. May we praise his name today in this place, in Jesus' name.
Friend. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated for just a moment. This next song, actually, Brother Callum had brought to my attention. I had forgotten about this song and asked if we could possibly do it this morning. And first of all, if you missed the first service, that it was an awesome word. It was very encouraging, so good. And just to tag along with what he said, because I've started reading actually that scripture about our adversary is like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. Yes. And then it also says in another verse, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save. Uh-huh. And so I started reading a little bit about, maybe it was Lions 101, I don't know, lions101.com, who knows if there's one that exists. And it talked about the most statistical successful kill for a lion is when he finds a prey that is all alone, and he takes that prey and he puts his mouth over the nose and the mouth of his prey, suffocating it. And I just, it made me think, you know, he does, when the devil can get you alone to make you feel like nobody knows what you're going through, nobody knows where you're at, nobody understands, nobody cares, nobody loves you, that is when you are the most vulnerable. Yes. You are suffocating. If you speak those words out, you are suffocating. Yes. And instead declare, you are my friend. I can remember a time in my life that I could have been in a crowd full of people, like he said, and felt so alone. But you are my friend. You are my father.
Yes.
You are my keeper.
Yes.
My protector. Hallelujah. My provider. The great shepherd.
Yes.
I am so thankful. Thank you, Lord. When you think about it, the I am. He is whatever you need.
Yes.
How could we ever be alone?
Yes.
Because he is all of those things for us.
Yes. Praise
Thank
the Lord.
You.
I am not alone. You are.
Cover me, cover me,
His priority in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If we could all stand at this time, we're going to ask the ushers to come to receive this morning's tithes and offerings. We're going to ask Brother Gary Piles if he would pray for the offering.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus.
I know who I am. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Brother Kellum. Such a wonderful word this morning in our Sunday school lesson. Couldn't help but thank as he was teaching in the comments my wife made a few moments earlier. She talked about how that the Bible tells us that the devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. As it is in the natural that the lion looks for the prey that is alone, that's by itself, that's not among the herd. I thought to myself, yeah, that's exactly how the enemy works. He wants to isolate us, wants us to feel like we're all alone. Though we're coming to church and though we may even be a crowd of people, I dare say that peer pressure to walk the way of the world begins with not feeling at place among the people of God. So we become isolated, we become alone, become cut out, if you will, from the mainstream of what's happening and moving and going on in the things of God. That's why it's important. That's why the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Certainly we have opportunity to come to church, we have opportunity for fellowship. I want to applaud those that made opportunity to go and be a part of Feed My Starving Children on Friday night. We went over to Aurora, and it was my first experience of doing something like that, where we got together. I think there was about 25 of us that got together and went there and helped package food. We were able to pack together this package that had almost was like Instant Potato, but it's almost like a food that is specifically for children that are 6 months to 12 months of age. And so they showed us some videos, and then we were able to go back there and begin packaging the food. And we are going to do this again. And I would encourage you that the next opportunity that we have to do it, that you make it a point to sign up and go and be a part of it. My whole family was there. They had stuff for the kids. I think you have to be 5 and older to go. But my, what a wonderful time. And so I thank you. Thank you, Sister Grimm, Brother Grimm, for scheduling that, putting that on and setting that up. And I had a wonderful time. But this is what I hope. I hope that doing that, and yes, it was good, and yes, there's a feeling of contributing to a need in the sense of starving children. But I hope that it doesn't just appease us. Feel like we've done a little bit and now that's all we need to do. I hope, if anything, it convicts us to do more. To do more. There is a hurting world. We are blessed to live in the nation that we live in and have all the amenities and luxuries that we have. We are blessed. But there are people in other countries that are not blessed and that they do not know where their next meal is coming from. Some of us already thinking where we're going to eat after church. Know where their next meal is going to come from. Lord, help us see the need. Can we lift our hands and pray right now? Lord Jesus, there is a hurting world, a lost world, so many feeling alone, trying to fit in so many ways, trying to do things, God. Give them a sense of belonging. Lord, I pray that you would move upon our hearts as people, God, who have come to know you as the Good Shepherd, Lord. As the sheep of your pasture, Lord, that we would look to those. Whatever needs that they have, Lord, that we would reach out to help, strengthen, to encourage, God. And truly be the church that others would come into the fold. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we are going to take a few needs of the Lord in prayer. And as we do so, if you would like to be anointed and prayed for, that's always proper. I ask you, please remember Sister Janie Kellum in prayer. She lost another sister just a few days ago. They had to travel. Many of you know they've dealt with a lot of loss in that family. And let's lift her up before the Lord. Ask the Lord to strengthen and encourage. Also, Sister Christy's not feeling well this morning. She texted me before church dealing with upper respiratory issues. And so I know there are others that might be here for a reason of sickness. But let's, if you have a need, why don't you slip up your hand? The Lord knows that need, that individual situation. And let's collectively go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you that we can come to you, Lord. If there be any sick among us, God, let them come, that we would anoint and pray for them, God. Or whatever the need is, we know that you're able to meet and supply all of needs according to your riches and glory, God. You are so good. You are so wonderful, God. We applaud you, God, your grace, your goodness, your love, your strength, God. How awesome it is to know you, God, to find your strength and your love. Oh, we pray that you'd be a blessing, a strength, a help, encouragement, healing, God, whatever the need is, Lord, that they would come to you and believe and trust in your power, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, while you're standing, if you would grab your Bibles. Thank you, Jesus. I do want to remind you, those of you that were part of the Love and Respect Marriage Seminar, there is a wrap-up fellowship at our house tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock. There will be no event here at the church, as we are having the fellowship at our residence. If you need that address, you can see me. It's on the announcements that have been scrolling. Try to do that before service and in between the two services. Beginning at 6 o'clock, many of you have already been made aware of what you're going to be bringing to help us, finger food, snacks, that sort of stuff. Just looking forward to a good time of fellowship together tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock. Hebrews chapter number 3. Beginning at verse number 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man referencing Christ Jesus, was counted worthy. Everybody say worthy. He was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. The help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this question. Just how worthy is he? Just how worthy is he? Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. We pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. God, that we would be encouraged and uplifted, God, to be reminded of your goodness, your greatness, God. We ask you, Lord, to touch us, God, to strengthen us, that we would be able to go forth from here and do your will, God. Find your strength and your help. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for your goodness, God, for all that you are and all that you do, in your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. For the most part, we are readily acquainted with what we would term as worth. we say things like, well, that was worth it, or that wasn't worth it. A favorable experience might elicit a response similar to, well, that was a worthwhile venture. Or maybe that, I think it's a Southern saying, don't know that it is, I heard it first in the South, well, that ain't worth a hill of beans. Someone seeking to give up on something or someone, they might say, well, it's just not worth it anymore. If we think about it, we are making value calculations and determining worth all the time. Is the good taste of the cheeseburger worth the extra calories? Is hitting the snooze and getting an extra 9 minutes of sleep worth me rushing around and trying to get out the door on time? Is it worth it? Is it worth it to make this comment, or should I just keep my opinion to myself? We are determining value. We are placing worth on many different things all throughout the day, making decisions and determinations based upon whether something has more or less value. And then after we have made those mental calculations, we then make a decision based upon those calculations. Is something worth it? Is something not worth it? Obviously, there are many valuations concerning worth, and often the value or worth of something may be relative in any given situation. Earlier we said, well, that's not worth a hill of beans, or it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. But if you're Jack, some of y'all will get that in a minute, you're willing to sell a cow. And so it's somewhat relative. Worth is dependent upon value that we ascribe to it, and it is relative. But the point is, whether it's small or large, whether it's cheap or expensive, whether it's minuscule or paramount, we have ways of determining worth. Is it worth it? But what about worth in relation to the Lord? Just how worthy is He? Now, I know we may think that this is easily and unequivocally answered, but we may have a reply at the ready for such a question as this. But before we let the answer leap from our lips, we should consider the reality that we too are often guilty of drawing nigh unto Him with our lips while our hearts are held off. This is not to say that our intentions are not good or that we don't really want to live up to what we would assert. It's simply the fact that we often fall short of displaying what we are saying. We sing songs like, I will give you all, I will give you all. But in reality, we should be saying, I will give you some. I will give you some. Yeah. That's the truth. If we say He is worth everything, but we only give Him some things, His worth is not determined by what we say, determined by what we do. If I say He's worth all of me, but I only give Him part of me, well, then what I give Him is determining just how worthy He is. See, God's been rocking my world with this lately, because in my prayer, I feel myself being asked many times, how worthy am I? How worthy am I? Am I worthy for you to continue to pray? Am I worthy for you to continue? And I realize we have other things. I realize life itself, but just how worthy is He? If we say that our relationship with Him really matters, but we seldom steal away for intimate time with Him, what really determines how worthy He is? Saying that I love Him? Saying that I value my relationship with Him? Or actually stealing away to spend time with Him? How do I, in my action and in my lifestyle, how do I tell God how worth it He is? How worthy are you, God? I
not what I say, not what I put on or the pretense that I may perform in front of others, but what do I really believe in my heart concerning the worthiness of God? Do I truly believe that the Church of the Living God is the greatest institution in all the world? Do I truly believe that it's worth it for me to get up and get my kids ready and make sure that I'm at the house of God when the doors are open? How much worthiness do I place in God and His people and His church? Just how worthy is He? See, there is relational worthiness. There is an understanding of His worthiness in relation to my own. You see, humility is really revealing how worthy God is and how worthless I am. I realize in our human nature that's not always popular that we want. But really, humility and getting our pride out of the way is simply giving perspective to the worthiness of God. It's setting my self-worth aside and saying it's more important. You see, that's what praise is about. Praise is about setting my self-worth aside and acknowledging His worth. That relational worthiness that says He is worthy to be praised. He's worthy that I lift my hands. He's worthy that I lift my voice. When David danced before the Lord and he came in before his wife Michal, and she said, oh, she began to mock him and she began to ridicule him and she began to say, oh, how wonderful, and I'm paraphrasing, you were when you danced before the handmaids. Oh, how glorious you were as a king when you took off your kingly robe and you danced. And he said, wait a second. He's worthy. I was just a shepherd. Who do you think made me king? Who do you think set me up to where I am? I'll be even more vile than this, because it's not about what you see and it's not about what they think. It's about a relational worthiness. I see Him as being worthy, and so I dance, and so I shout, and so I sing. He's worthy. Job, the Bible said that Job, this is Bible, was a perfect man, that he eschewed evil. But Job says this in Job 42, 5 and 6, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust. Ashes. A perfect man in this understanding of his relation of worthiness said, I abhor myself. You are so worthy, God, and I am so worthless. It is no mystery why, if you read many of the lyrics of the old songs, they define themselves as wretched. They had a sense of relational worthiness. They had an understanding. He is worthy and I am not. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul said. He understood. He is worthy. Just how worthy is He? He's worthy enough for me to recognize. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He's worthy. See, John the Baptist, he had an understanding. He had a following. He was well known. He had his own disciples, the Bible says. Many came to him as he taught and were baptized of him, the Bible says, in the Jordan. John, if you might say to those that were seeking religion and that were seeking relationship, if you will, that were tired of the tradition and everything that they saw in the surroundings and the social things of that time, they were looking to John. John was bringing them a new message. He was preparing the way of the Lord. But when it came time to introduce, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Catch what John says. "Whose shoes I am unworthy to latch." I have an understanding of where I am in all this. I haven't let the crowd and my popularity let pride rise up in me. I am humble enough to stand in relational worthiness and say, "I'm not worthy to even buckle his shoe. I'm not even worthy to lean down and take the latchet and put it upon his feet." I have an understanding of just how worthy he is. Understanding of how worthy he is reminds me of how unworthy I am. What about the centurion? Wanted his child healed. And the Lord said, "Well, we'll go." And the centurion said this, Matthew 8:8, the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. I'm not even worthy. I've heard of your exploits. I've heard that you healed. I come to you because I have a child that needs healing. And though you offer to come to my house, I'm not worthy to have you under my roof. But I understand this. I understand structure and I understand authority, for I am one having authority which have those under me." I understand authority, and so even though I understand that myself, I'm not worthy that you would even come under my house, I know that you have the authority, so all you have to do is simply say the word. All you got to do is simply say it. Healed. I understand worthiness. What about biblical worth? What does the Bible ascribe as worthiness to the Lord? Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Save me. The only thing he did was create life. What I have now and the things that I see, guess what? He's still worthy. He's worthy. When I look at nature, when I see the things that surround my life, I need to understand they are a picture of the worthiness of God, that he is worthy that I lift my voice. He is worthy that I pray. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Why? Because he's worthy. That's why Jesus said, if these hold their peace, the rocks will cry out, because you need to understand he's worthy of praise. You need to get this. He's worthy. John the Revelator peered into the portals of glory as the Lord gave him visions. In Revelation chapter 5, you find that there's an angel that has the book. The strong angel, the Bible says, proclaims, "Who is worthy to open the book?" There was not a man in heaven nor on earth who went around that was worthy. John the Revelator said, "I wept sore. Begin to cry because no man was found worthy." Then he says this, "But an elder came to me and said, 'Weep not. Don't cry. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he hath prevailed.'" He's worthy. He's the one. Just how worthy is he? He's the only one worthy. When it comes time to open the book, he's the only one worthy. There is no one nowhere else who is worthy. It's simply him. Just how worthy is he? He's worthy to open the book. He's worthy for you and I through his worthiness to make heaven our home. Just how worthy is he? What about Revelation 5:9? They sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Revelation 5:12. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." He's worthy. But understand this. Just how worthy he is not a question that I can answer for you. It is something that the Bible shows and explains, but just how worthy he is, something that you determine individually. Just how worthy he is something that you and I determine ourselves. How worthy he is determined by what I do and how I live. Tell them, you can teach on it. Others, we can talk about it. We can even read it from the Word of God. But to truly understand just how worthy he is, it's experiential. It's to have an experience. It's to have encounters. It's to have a walk in relationship with him. Because without that, I really don't have a sense of how worthy he is. Without truly walking with him and without truly having a relationship with him, the worth is determined. It's relative, if you will, to what others might say or what I might read in the Word of God. But when I have a relationship with him, just how worthy he is, I begin to realize, oh, he's more than I could ever express. He's worthy of all my time. He's worthy of all my talent. He's worthy of all my treasure. He's worthy of absolutely everything. He's worthy of all 24 hours of the day. You see, I don't really recognize that he's even worth an hour of my time until I learn how to pray an hour. Now it's going to get real. He's worthy of all day, every day. But to truly understand just how worthy he is, it requires the experience. It requires spending that time and that effort, because I can say it and others may read it and teach upon it. But for me to truly understand just how worthy he is requires that experience. It requires me to know for myself. I can't know how worthy he is based upon mommy and daddy. I can't know how worthy he is based upon uncle or aunt or grandma or grandpa. I can't know how worthy he is based upon someone else and their relationship with him. I have to know just how worthy he is based upon my relationship with him myself. My talents, those blessings, those things that God has blessed me with, he's worthy. But you see, until I use those talents, until in experience I find myself giving those talents to him for his glory, to be used in his kingdom, until I do so, the true worth is not truly understood. What about my treasure? Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. Can I paraphrase? Do you know that I'm worth it? Do you know that I'm worth it? Because if you truly know that I'm worth it, you're like the little woman, widow woman with just two mites, who comes, and the Bible says she comes to the treasury and she cast in all her living. Just how worthy is he? He's worthy of every dime. He's worthy of every cent. But until I learn how to prove him therewith, I will not truly understand. Until I'm able to show with my faith and my obedience to his word, Lord, you're worth it. I'll write this, Lord, you're worth it. I give this money. Lord, you're worth it. I give my talent. Why? Because you're worth it. You see, just how worthy he is will be determined by you. His worth in your life will never be determined by me. I'll go a step further. His worth in your life will not be determined by the word of God. His worth in your life will be determined by your experience with him. Be real. One of the reasons why I don't tell more people about Jesus, here it is. Because I still haven't concluded he's worth it. Quiet in here. What are you saying, Pastor? This. As I grow in my walk in relationship with God, and as you hopefully grow in your walk in relationship with God, how worthy he is begins to grow. And my service and my following his principles and his precepts are not acts of obligation, privilege, because he's worth it. He's worth it. He's worth it that I do these things. He's worth it that I walk circumspectly, that I walk carefully. He's worth it that I come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive. He's worth it. He's worth it that I do these things and that I live this life. He's worth it that I teach my children when they rise up and throughout the day and when they go to bed at night. He's worth it that we pray before we go to sleep. He's worth it. Just how worthy he is determined by you. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Well, I don't think it's all that necessary that I go to church all the time. Maybe it's not a question of whether or not it's necessary. Maybe it's a question is he or is he not worth it? Whew. And that hit. Well, I just don't see where all those things are required of me in Scripture, Pastor. I don't see where that's really necessary. Maybe it's not a question of whether or not it's necessary. Maybe it's a question of whether or not you think he's worth it. I just don't think giving like that is something I need to do. I've got other things in my life that I need to give my attention to. I get that. Question is he worth it? Just how worthy is he? say he's worth it. I can sing the songs about his worth. Until I have that experience. Until I truly display in my life how worthy he is. All the words will do no good. It's got to be action. It's got to be something that is done and displayed in who I am so that it becomes a very part of my character. I do what I do because he's worth. My dad had a saying that I always thought was comical. He'd say it many times in preaching. He said, if the Lord asked me to stand in or be in the corner and stand on my head and spit wooden nickels, I'd do it. No idea where that came from. Don't know how I even thought of that. But can I paraphrase what he's saying? He's worth it. Whatever you require, he's worth it. Somewhere along the line, we've got to start believing that again. Somewhere along the line, we got to start believing. If not for this life, for the life that is to come, he's worth it. What's going to be available to you and to me? I believe he's worth it right here and right now. I believe that living this life for God is the most worthwhile life anybody can ever live. I believe that with all my heart. But even looking ahead to the life to come, do I truly believe he's worth it? The old song says, to God be the glory. A line that I love in that song, all that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee.
Yep, amen.
To God be the glory. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm simply asking the question, just how worthy is he? Is he worthy that I come to the altar and bow my head? And once again, be reminded, Lord, you're worthy. Just how worthy is he? Is he worthy that I lift my hands and lift my voice? That I understand and relation my unworthiness to his worthiness. Just how worthy is he? Because the more I understand his worth, the more I experience his worth, the more I plunge in, the more I sink myself into, the more my life becomes hid in Christ. Just how worthy is he?
There is nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare your all-living heart.
Psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Lord. It's worth it more to me to be outside exposed to the elements. To battle the wind and the rain, to endure the storm, it's more worth it to me to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Just how worthy is he?
Your presence, Lord.
Is he worth? Is he worth it? Is he worth me setting aside thoughts about where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do a little bit later? Is he worth it? But just for a few moments, maybe I can focus all my attention upon him and tell him, Lord, you're worth it. Help me not just to say it, Lord. Help me to display it in my life.
with me. Lord, I want to grow. I want to give more of myself away.
I've tasted and seen of the sweetness of love. Where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
One of my favorite sayings is, it's when and only when you have nothing left that you realize God is enough.
Spirit, you are welcome.
If I had to lose it all,
don't flood this place and fill
He'd still be worth
atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
I know sometimes it's hard to make it to church on Wednesday night. But you must ask yourself the question, is He worth it? Is He worth the extra effort I have to put forth to avail myself? Is He worth it that I would gather with brothers and sisters and praise His name? Is He worth it? There's scores of individuals telling the Lord He's not worth it. There's scores of individuals going to sport venues and they're doing other things and they're spending time fishing or golfing or shopping. There's so many other people telling the Lord, you're just not worth it. I don't want to be one of those. I want to be telling Him in my daily living, Lord, you're worth it.
Glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
God, help me remember. How I live, what I do. It's telling me. Say, symbolic, just how worthy you are. Lord, told Abraham, take your son, your only son, offer him to me. Somewhere along the line, Abraham had to have enough faith to conclude, I don't understand it. But Lord, if that's what you require, you're worth it. You're worth it. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Pray you will go from this place displaying in your life just how worthy He is. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.